This is Cicely Tyson. Hollywood, city of dreams and nightmares. The end of the yellow brick road for those few lucky enough to make it, and just the end of the road, period, for the thousands who don't. They come by plane now, but in the old days they came by train, 4 long days and nights if you came from the theater world of New York. Their stories were each different. Many were fantastical, but none was so strange as the story of Celia Braun. In the beginning, there was little to distinguish Celia Braun from the thousands of other young men and women who had come before and who would come after her. She had talent, she had ambition, and she had looks. But she did have one thing that most of the others did not: a contract for a starring role in a picture.
Los Angeles, Union Station.
Celia promised herself she was only coming to California to do one film. She had 2 reasons for wanting to return to New York: her love of acting on the stage and her husband, Robert. 15 years later, Celia Braun was dead. She had never left Hollywood. She died at the height of an illustrious career, as beautiful as she was elusive. And the circumstances of her death were so bizarre that those who stood and watched could not believe what they were seeing. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Death of Celia Braun, by Percy Grainger. Our stars, Shepard Menken, Stephen Markle, Virginia Gregg, and Peggy Hazard as Celia Braun.
Our story takes place in the 1940s, when television was just a glint, and in Hollywood, movies were everything. Like today, the town seethes with ambition and hustle. But as always, that pace favors certain profession over others. An actor, for example, has to wait by the phone hoping it rings. A newspaper reporter can be a little more active, like a young fellow named Thrush Jones.
Thrush? Yoo-hoo! It's your wife calling long distance across the newspaper to tell you your eggs are getting cold.
Hey, look at this. Celia Braun is dead.
No kidding. What happened?
It says here it was a heart attack.
Really? She wasn't that old, was she?
Well, in her 40s, I guess.
More coffee?
Yeah, hit me. That's too bad. She was one heck of an actress.
A pretty cold fish as a person, though.
A very unhappy lady.
We should all have her problems. $10,000 a week. A mansion the size of Buckingham Palace up in the hills. A body and face capable of making every man in America have the same thought. I'd become a reclusive alcoholic, too.
She wasn't an alcoholic.
A quart of gin a day, according to your pal Mickey.
A pint, and he's not my pal.
Your cohort in digging up sleazy tidbits.
Well, I'm a reporter. That's my job.
Finding out who's sleeping with whom and who went where to do what last night?
So I don't cover the Berlin airlift or the conference at Malta.
Yalta.
People need a little relief from politicians and the economy. They need a little depressing news on a human scale. Who's breaking up with whom? Who took his own life? Problems the average guy can relate to.
So what happened to Celia Braun?
It says here she was on the set for her latest picture. It was to be the last day of shooting.
Some timing. Well, it's too bad. Where are you going?
Over to the studio. See if I can find someone who'll say something nice enough about her that we can quote.
Sorry, Thrush. You can't go in.
What do you mean I can't go in?
The set's closed.
What for?
I don't know. I just got my orders from Mr. Heidelman, the head of the studio himself. Don't let anyone in.
Charlie, not even me.
Just between us, I think especially not you.
Why the veil of silence?
It was a terrible thing, Miss Braun dying so suddenly like that.
You mean it wasn't a heart attack like the paper said?
Yeah, it was. But everyone seems kind of spooked by it.
Spooked? Why?
I don't know, but Eidelman doesn't want anyone who was on the set talking to reporters.
Hi, Thrush.
Mickey!
Charlie giving you the gag treatment, too?
Yeah, what's up, anyway?
Sorry, boys, I got my orders.
Yeah, that's the motto of the spineless, Charlie. Mm. God's going to punish you for being such a booby. Come on, Mick. You, already phoned this locked studio business into your paper?
Yep.
Scooped again. But it's odd, don't you think?
I found out another very interesting little item, too.
What's that?
They put a padlock on the film.
The one Brian was shooting?
Yep. They aren't letting anyone see the dailies. Not only that, the rumor is it's not going to be released.
They hadn't finished it?
Yeah, that's what Bud Heidelman wanted me to think, but it ain't the truth. One of my usually reliable sources told me she didn't die till just after they shot the final scene.
The nicest thing she ever did. So why no release? Respect for the departed?
Bud Heidelman? Sentimental? Don't make me laugh.
He must have $3 million sunk in the thing. Why wouldn't he release it?
I don't know. My source clams up.
Yes?
Hi, Angie.
Hush.
Don't slam the door, or my podiatrist bill goes to you.
I've got nothing to say.
I just came to offer my condolences.
I'm sure.
Angie, my foot's firmly wedged in the door, and I suspect there's more to Celia Braun's death than met the front page of the paper this morning.
Why do you think that?
You were her personal secretary for 15 years, you tell me.
She died of a heart attack.
Were you there?
Yes.
With her when it happened?
No, I was in her dressing room, actually, typing up some correspondence.
To whom?
It was just a letter to her lawyer about her will. She wanted to make a minor alteration in the amount she was leaving to a couple of charities, that's all.
She was worried about her will? What, did she know she was going to die?
I think she had a premonition. She hadn't been feeling well ever since she started the picture.
I heard she didn't want to do it at all.
That's not true.
I heard it was based very much on her own life.
It was about a woman like her, yes, but then most of her pictures were.
Angie, come on. The roles she played were nothing like her.
They were. How else could she have acted them so deeply? In life, she was reclusive, cold, but she felt. She understood those passions that she played, those women in love.
What about this last picture? The same shtick?
No, it was different. It was closer to the woman the rest of the world saw. Ambitious, but reclusive.
Is that why it isn't being released? It cuts too close to the bone?
I don't know anything about that.
Angie.
No, I'm sorry. I can't tell you anything more.
Celia Braun, famous movie star. Dead at the age of 40. The cause? A heart attack. Or was it? Thrush Jones, whose modest job it is to gather items of gossip for another person's byline in one of the Los Angeles dailies, may have stumbled onto a headline story. The only trouble is, nobody's talking.
Damn.
Still getting the cold shoulder?
Bud Heidelman, the chief executive over at the studio, won't talk to me. And now his secretary hangs up as soon as she hears my voice.
Well, you see, persistence does get you somewhere.
What's the big mystery? What happened?
I'll tell you what's happening. This whole thing is a publicity stunt. Now that Miss Braun is dead, they want to build up suspense about the film before they release it.
I don't think so. Angela, her secretary, wasn't just heartbroken. She was terrified. She said Braun had a premonition that she would die. And Charlie, the guard at the studio, said everyone on the set was spooked by what happened. So what are they covering up?
You think she might have been murdered?
Hey, what day is this?
Thursday, March 24th, 1949.
Perfect. Heidelman is mine.
What do you mean?
Thursdays, Heidelman always takes his mother to lunch at Morton Maury's Delicatessen.
Thrush, you shouldn't interrupt the man's weekly visit with his mother.
Are you kidding? It's the only time he likes to be interrupted. Hello, Mr. Heidelman.
Well, if it isn't Thrush Jones, the world's least well-known gossip monger.
But likable.
What do you want?
I want to know about Celia Brown's death.
There's nothing I can tell you, kid, unless you can't read the papers.
Did anyone actually see her die?
Of course. The whole crew was there. And James Gent, her co-star.
Were you there?
No.
It's rumored there was trouble between you.
Yeah?
That Celia had wanted out of her contract for a long time.
So?
Well, this was her last picture for you, wasn't it? After this, her contract was up.
Yep.
You must not have been very happy about that.
What is this? You playing detective all of a sudden?
Why aren't you releasing the picture?
That's not definite.
Is there something incriminating that the camera caught by mistake?
Kid, you're being exotic. I'd release the film in a minute. The rushes have been fantastic. It's the best work Celia ever did. There's just a bit of a legal snag we gotta work out.
What's that?
A technicality, nothing. I mean it, kid. You've heard everything you're going to hear from me. Besides, I want you to say hello to my mother.
Mr. Gent.
Well, if it isn't Thrush Jones, the Jimmy Olsen of the fan magazine business.
I got nothing to do with that trash. Mm. I work for a respectable newspaper with a reputation to protect.
Oh. So what's up?
I'm sorry about Celia.
Me too.
One of movie land's great teams, you and her. What was it like working with her?
Schizo time. She was totally unapproachable except when the cameras were rolling. Something was eating at her.
What?
I don't know, but it got worse with every picture.
Her secretary said Celia acted like she knew she was going to die.
Maybe, I don't know. I worked with her off and on since 1939. 10 years. Now she's gone and she's taken her mystery with her.
I know you'd rather forget it, but could you tell me what happened?
She died in my arms, right on cue.
What do you mean?
Just like the script called for. Her character dies. That's how the story ends.
Whew. Wow. So that's why everyone on the set was so spooked. Is that why Heidelman isn't releasing it? Because she died on camera?
You kidding? Heidelman would probably use that to advertise it if he could. Now there's some legal technicality.
So he says.
It's true. Drake Rudolph's got some damn clause in his contract.
Rudolph? The guy who wrote the script?
Yeah, he's got this clause that says if an actor in a major role in any script he writes dies before the film is completed, he has the option to prevent its release.
Oh, what a clause. How come?
Who knows? He's about as quirky as they come. He's had the clause in there ever since he started working for Heidelman.
And why would Heidelman agree to something like that?
He was humoring him. Rudolph's the best in the business. After all, what are the chances of it affecting anything? If an actor dies halfway through a film, you're not going to be able to finish it anyway, right?
Right.
This, I don't know. I mean, the picture's done. All that's left is some second unit shooting. Apparently, that's enough for Rudolph to insist the clause be honored.
Well, why is he doing it?
Search me. Celia did the best work of her career in that picture. I couldn't think of a more fitting tribute to her than to release it.
But Rudolph doesn't want that, huh?
I don't know what he wants. But it's a lousy break. My work wasn't so bad either.
Is there any way I could get to see him?
Who knows? He's as publicity shy as Celia was. There is one way. He's got this thing about helping young writers. He likes to play father figure to them. Maybe if you posed as a new playwright in town looking for a break, he might talk to you.
Thanks, Mr. Gent. That's just what I'll do.
A woman died. Aside from a certain astounding coincidence, her death seems perfectly natural. And yet, the little pieces don't quite add up. Thrush Jones is standing on the doorstep of Drake Rudolph, the screenwriter.
Yes?
Mr. Rudolph, my name is Thrush Jones.
What do you want?
I'm a playwright. I've just come out from New York. I was told by James Gent that you might speak to me about how one breaks in out here.
How do you know Mr. Gent?
Oh, I have a cousin who went to school with him.
Come in, son. Come into my study.
Wow. This is quite a place. You can get this rich out here from writing?
I hope money isn't your only motivation for wishing to follow Thalia and Melpomene.
Who?
Oh, the muses of comedy and tragedy.
Oh, no.
Sit down, son.
Oh, thanks. It's an honor to meet the man who's written all of Celia Brown's pictures.
No, I didn't write her early ones. I take no credit for those mindless confections. My scripts were filled with passions that were worthy of her.
And there's a new one that's just been finished?
You haven't heard?
What?
Miss Brown is dead. She died 2 days ago.
Oh, that's terrible. I didn't know. I've been on the train from New York.
She was on the set. It was the final day of shooting, in fact.
Then the picture can be released?
Unfortunately not. Apparently there's some legal complication.
What's that?
A technicality. Quite beyond my comprehension. Now,
but Mr. Gent says it's the finest work Miss Brown ever did.
Look here, did you come to discuss screenwriting or Celia?
Oh, writing.
If you really do know Mr. Gent...
I do.
Why didn't he tell you Celia was dead?
Why aren't you going to let the picture be released, Mr. Rudolph?
Me?
It's a clause in your contract that's blocking it.
Now, look here, I...
Did you know Miss Brown was going to die?
What?
The story in your script was very similar to her own life.
Who told you that?
Angela Kraft.
You have a cousin who went to school with her, too?
And in the final scene, your script called for her to die, which she did.
Pure coincidence.
Was it? Were you on the set that day?
Who are you?
I work for the Los Angeles Transcript, Mr. Rudolph. I'm a snoop.
In that case, there's nothing I can do to help you.
I want to know what happened.
Get out!
I'm onto something, Kim. Celia Brown was murdered.
Murdered?
At first, I thought maybe it was Heidelman or even James Gent, but now I think I've got my man.
Who?
Drake Rudolph. I think he poisoned her and made it look like a heart attack brought on by the emotional stress of the scene she was playing.
Poison? Oh, thrush.
I tell you, the guy's weird. I mean, he's possessed. He's got eyes that burn holes right through you. I wouldn't put anything past him.
But why would he want to kill her?
He loved her.
Oh.
He had conceived a tortured passion for her.
How do you know that?
Because in an unguarded moment, he called her Celia. He loved her. He wrote for her. He wrote love stories for her. That's true. They were all love stories in one form or another. More than any other person, he's responsible for her career. But she remained aloof and cool, and his passion turned brutal. And he wrote her death scene and poisoned her as she played it.
Thrush, all this nonsense because he called her by her first name?
Well, okay, maybe that's a touch on the melodramatic side. But it could just hang together when I run it out to dry.
Who are you calling?
County coroner's office. I see. Thanks.
Well?
Massive coronary seizure, no trace of any foreign substances or any foul play.
Don't beat your brains out. She just wasn't murdered, that's all.
And why doesn't Rudolph want the film released? And why was Angela Kraft so terrified? And if it was only a coincidence, why did Celia have the premonition? Hello?
Thrush, it's Angela Kraft. Can you come to see me?
What's up?
You've been making inquiries about Celia's death.
Yes.
I have to talk to you. I have to talk to someone right away.
I think there are some who suspect the truth. Bud Heidelman, possibly, but I'm the only one Celia ever told the full story to, and I cannot carry it inside me any longer. I've lived with it for too many years, watched it unfold. Helpless.
Angie?
For you to understand, I have to go back to the very beginning when Celia Braun was still Celia Bronowski, and a young actress in New York still unknown. It was a cold winter's day in December. The year was 1933. Celia had an interview that day in the office of Edmund St. Clair, one of the theater's most respected directors.
Andre. And you are...
Celia Bronowski.
Please, sit down.
Thank you.
You read very well at the auditions this morning.
Thank you.
My stage manager explained why you're here, I trust. I've seen over 300 actresses for this role, and you're one of six who read well enough for an interview.
Yes, he did. I mean, thank you.
Well, according to your resume, your experience is mostly in summer stock and touring companies.
I've only been in New York less than a year. I haven't really had a chance.
Well, that's perfectly all right. I'm looking for an unknown for this role. You read the entire script?
Oh, yes.
Well, what do you think?
I think it's one of the most moving plays I've ever read. And I think the role of Clarissa is not only beautifully written, she's an entirely original creation.
Precisely, and that's why I don't want a star. The audience must see the character, not the person playing it.
Of course.
All right, Miss Bernofsky, thank you very much, and you'll be contacted when I've made my decision.
Yes. How's it going, honey?
Chapter 4 is almost history.
Thank goodness. It's taken you forever to get it the way you wanted it.
By the way, you got a call.
Who?
He sounded like a secret lover.
Robert, who?
Very cultured. Said his name was Edmund St. something or other.
St. Clair?
Obviously a pseudonym to deceive unsuspecting husbands.
What did he say?
You got it, Cece.
The role? Clarissa?
Yep.
Oh, but Robert, that's the lead. It's going to be on Broadway.
Well, I told him you weren't interested unless your husband could accompany you during the out-of-town tryouts.
Oh, Robert.
And he said, if that's what an extraordinary young actress like Celia wants, it's as good as in the contract.
There's Robert. He's got the papers.
The reviews are sensational. Great play, great director, but most of all, a great new star for the Broadway season.
But really, Celia, you're going to have to do something about your last name. No, it's not so bad for the writer of great literature your husband will someday be, but for a star of the stage, well, shall we say it has a wrong kind of dignity? Hmm?
Thank you, Mr. Sinclair. But I like my name, our name, just fine.
Damn.
Chapter 8 still giving you problems.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to be late for the theater.
Robert, I got a call today from a producer.
Well, that's great. At least one of us making progress.
A producer of motion pictures in Hollywood. His name is Bud Heidelman. He wants me to go out there.
Hey, you're not interested in pictures, are you?
He says it's a good movie. It would be the lead.
Well, Hollywood's 3,000 miles away.
He said he'd guarantee me $50,000.
Oh, terrific. What's that, $15 a mile?
And I thought with that much money, we'd never have to worry again.
Well, money doesn't work that way.
You could finish your novel no matter how long it took.
You don't have to worry about me, okay?
You could come with me. He says it's very warm out there.
Well, what's weather got to do with anything?
When I told him you were a writer, he sounded very interested.
Yeah, interested like a vulture. They eat writers alive out there and think because they pay them handsomely for the privilege, that makes it all right. Well, no thanks.
Oh, don't be such a snob.
You've obviously already said yes.
It's only for 4 weeks.
4 weeks? Cece, I can't stand being away from you 4 hours.
Well, I'm only going out for this one picture. He wanted to make a deal for more, but I said no. I just think it'll be fun to do this once, that's all. As soon as it's over, I'll be back. I love the stage, and I love you, Robert. Don't worry, nothing's going to happen. I'll be back.
Everyone knows that much of the story, Angie. Celia Braun began on the stage, came to Hollywood, and never went back. But in this year of our Lord, 1949, that doesn't make her any different from 10,000 other girls, except that she made it.
That's true. But you see, the strange part is yet to come.
Cicely Tyson again. And here's the fourth act of The Death of Celia Braun.
Okay. Celia Braun came to Hollywood from New York in 1934. She made one picture, The Sweetheart Moon.
It was a dreadful picture.
I know. Her first three or four were all potboilers. So why, after Sweetheart Moon was done, did she immediately sign for another? In fact, sign a multi-picture deal with Heidelman. The money and sunshine get to her that quickly?
It wasn't just money and sunshine. She did find she liked it here more than she thought she would. She was treated royally, and who can resist that? This is when I first came to work for her, and she would say, if only Robert would come out, everything would be perfect.
Robert, the husband back in New York?
I got quite an image of him from Celia, a brilliant writer wrestling with his soul to produce the great American novel.
What happened to him?
Celia loved him. There was never any question of that in my mind. She had such wonderful faith in him. It seemed to feed her confidence in herself. He was everything to her.
Everything that wasn't Hollywood.
No, she was convinced he could be happy out here, but he refused to consider it. He didn't want the distractions or the temptations.
What happened to her promise to go back to New York?
She convinced herself she could have it all, the sacred and the profane, so she planned a deception. She knew there was one thing she could tell Robert that would have him on the next train out. She could tell him she was pregnant.
Pregnant? You mean jealousy? Get him out here with a hatchet in his hand?
No, no. Their child, expecting their child more than anything else, Robert wanted a child.
So she told him this?
Celia asked me to go with her to Union Station the day he arrived.
Oh, you'll like him, Angie. I know you will. He's really not like something out of a Russian novel.
Well, I hope he doesn't turn into something out of a Russian novel when he finds out you've lied to him.
He'll love it here once he's given it a chance. I know he will.
Cece!
There he is.
Oh, Cece! Oh, my God. Oh, you're so suntanned.
Oh. You're so pale and thin. We're going to have to fatten you up.
How are you? How's the baby?
This is Angela Kraft. She's my secretary.
Secretary?
They think of everything out here.
Oh, Cece, what does the doctor say? Is everything all right?
Yes.
How have you felt?
Robert, I'm not pregnant.
What?
I'm not.
You lost it?
I never had it. I was never pregnant.
Well, I don't...
I only said that so you'd come out.
You were never at all?
Oh, you'll love it here, Robert. Honestly, you will. We'll get a beach house where you can work. With the ocean below and the warm breeze, the sunset.
Celia, did you do this?
I'll work at the studio every day and drive home every night. We'll take walks along the beach, have drinks, sit by the fire, and you can read to me what you've written.
I don't give a damn about sunsets. You told me you were going to have a kid.
Think what it would do to my image on film if I was pregnant.
Image?
I'm not pregnant, that's all. So what's the big deal?
Later, Cece.
Robert? Robert, wait!
Celia pleaded with him to forgive her.
But she wouldn't go back to New York.
No, she'd become addicted. She loved the people, they loved her, and the work, the money, the fame, the impossible round of parties every week. It was like that before the war, you know.
I've heard. So, anyway, the stage's loss was the movie's gain. But what happened to Robert?
He hung around for a while, but he was heartbroken. He never got over the way she'd deceived him. Though in her behalf, I don't think she realized how deeply it was going to hurt. But the way she treated him now was painful to watch. He didn't fit in at all, and she took to going out alone more and more. The final blow was when she told him she was yielding to studio pressure to change her name from Brunowski to Braun. It was symbolic of the irreparable break between them. He left that same night. Robert was out of her life forever.
And that's when she signed her big contract.
Almost from spite more than anything else. The way women can be at times.
And her career was off and running.
Until her fifth picture. That's when the change began. That was the first picture Drake Rudolph wrote for her. And from the start, she was moody and irritable. She stopped going out. She'd spent every night at home alone with the script. She seemed to be in great pain. Then one day on the set, she suddenly
stopped in the middle of a scene and came running back to the dressing room.
I can't do it.
Celia, what's the matter?
That script. I can't say those words.
Why, you're hot as fire.
I'm ill. I can't continue today. Tell them I won't go on.
Celia, what's the matter?
Mr. Heidelman.
Are you all right?
Who wrote this script?
A young fellow named Drake Rudolph. We just put him under contract. Why?
I want to meet him.
Sure. Angela, tell Rowley to bring Mr. Rudolph here.
Yes, sir. You mean he's here on the set?
Uh-huh. The kid's a dynamic screenwriter, see? He's gonna be great. He doesn't say a heck of a lot, but I think he's a big fan of yours. He's been here on the set every day since you started shooting, watching you. He never takes his eyes off of you. Ah, here he is.
Robert?
How do you do, Miss Braun?
Robert?
Rudolph, see? Drake Rudolph.
I'm very honored to meet you.
How do you do?
I hope there aren't any problems with my script.
Oh, no, none at all.
But, Miss Braun, perhaps you find it dishonest.
No. Just familiar, Mr. Rudolph. Just very, very familiar.
But this is sensational. I got the town's newest rising star and its hottest young writer both in my stable. I just put Drake under contract to write all your remaining pictures.
Oh?
Well, yeah. Can we get back to work?
Yes.
One moment. Would Miss Braun consider it an imposition if I asked her for her autograph?
So, Drake Rudolph is Robert?
From that day on, he controlled her life by what he wrote. After he told the story of the woman he had lost, he recreated her as the woman he wanted her to be. Time and again, he brought to life the passionate woman who was now dead to him, and dead to herself. And finally, in the last picture they were under contract to do together, he wrote about the woman she had become. But it was more than that. It was a cruel caricature. He wanted to publicly humiliate her, and she fought back. She played the part with such passion that she transcended the hatred he had written in the lines, just as she had transcended all their other characters, the ones of beauty, beyond what even he had envisioned.
Did they ever see each other?
No. After that brief meeting, they never saw each other again. Until the last day. The last day of her life.
Miss Braun?
Angie, tell them I can't come out.
But there's only the final scene left to shoot.
I can't. He's trying to kill me.
You've been brilliant so far, Celia. You've got to show him you're stronger than he is, and after this picture, you'll be free of him forever.
I need another drink.
No!
I need it.
You know what the doctor said. Your heart can't...
My heart. Don't make me laugh. Why is Charlie knocking again? He said I had 10 minutes.
I don't think that's Charlie's knock.
Celia? Angie, leave us alone. I want to talk to Miss Braun.
Yes, Mr. Rudolph.
You don't look well.
I'm fine.
You're drinking?
Top of the class.
You need liquor to play remorse?
Spare me the lectures. You're still here, too, I notice.
Oh. We're one flesh, one spirit. Whither thou goest...
Whatever happened to the great American novel?
Victim of priorities.
You've really put me through my paces, haven't you? Well, at least I haven't hid behind a putty nose and a beard. At least, Mr. Drake Rudolph, I kept my own name.
Your name was the first thing you gave up.
Anyway, this is it. One more scene and I'm out.
Ah. That's right. Come out of this one in one piece, and you can ride off into the sunset.
What are you going to do then?
What are you?
You're really a pig, you know that?
I just didn't want you wasting your talents on trash.
So you figured you'd put a little quality emotion into my life, huh? A little highbrow agony. And now you write this crummy picture about an aging movie star who resents being an aging movie star. What am I supposed to do, get down and grovel?
You made your choice.
That's right, I made my choice.
And now I'm just making you play it twice.
Thanks for the opportunity.
My reward for all our other pictures together, the ones where you got to play the woman you were, the woman you might have been.
Your fantasies, you mean?
You are in bad shape.
So what?
Cece, I don't...
Don't call me that. Nobody calls me that anymore, least of all you.
Why don't you just admit the truth? You could have gotten out of this any time you wanted. You could have walked, and Heidelman couldn't have laid a finger on you, and you know it. But you didn't, because you needed what I wrote you. And now it's over. And you're at the end of the line.
It's not over yet.
They're ready on the set, Miss Braun.
There's your cue. Now it's time to see who wins. One last scene. The woman meets the man she loved and dies of a broken heart. Can you play it?
I can play it.
And go on. They're waiting for you. Go out there and play it to perfection. And let's see who wins.
Let's see.
So she played the scene.
Who do you think won?
I don't know. I don't think any one of us can even begin to imagine the bond that existed between those two.
And no one else knew.
Oh, Heidelman must have suspected. He must have put it together somewhere down the line. But he'd never say anything.
Why not?
Why do you think? It was a profitable situation.
And that's why Rudolph plays father figure to young writers.
To compensate for the son he never had.
The one thing I still don't get is why he doesn't want the film released.
I don't know. Perhaps because it was her finest work and he wants to deny her her final triumph, or perhaps he simply wants to keep a piece of her from public consumption. I don't think even he could find a reason for it anymore. But I do know that that picture will never see the light of day.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Death of Celia Braun, was written by Percy Granger and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Shepard Menken, Stephen Markle, and Virginia Gregg, and Peggy Hazard as Celia Braun. Featured in the cast were Joan McCall, Len Berman, Marvin Miller, and Ben Wright. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Sears, a name that means quality and value, a name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value. And by Serta Perfect Sleeper Mattresses and Foundations, with the top comfort and deep support for firmness that feels good. And that's a healthy investment in yourself.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Listen to us tomorrow. I've got another story of adventure about men and women defying the odds. Listen here, tomorrow.